This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
On Keeping the Faith this afternoon, we're talking about services for the elderly with our guest, Marla Shoemaker, from San Diego, an organization called Elder Help. Can you hear me all right?
I sure can.
Well, thank you for being a guest on the show.
Of course.
And I might let listeners know that if they detect a little edge of extra nervousness in my voice, it's because Marla Shoemaker is a distant relative, I suppose we could say. distant in terms of being in San Diego, but Marla is my daughter, so we're having a family discussion tonight. But let's talk about Elder Help. What is Elder Help of San Diego?
Well, Elder Help is a private nonprofit organization out here in San Diego, and we're a social service agency, basically, that has been dedicated to working with seniors. And our whole mission is to help seniors live independently. We are home-based, so we work with seniors in their home and try to do it with as much dignity as possible. So we're dealing with seniors. We don't have eligibility requirements in terms of income or anything else. It's all based on age, 55 and older. And basically, although we target seniors who are isolated and alone and tend to be on limited incomes, we will work with anybody who has a question, who has any kind of need. And again, we are focused on the home.
Now, who is the we that provides these services or tries to provide them? Who works for Elder Help of San Diego?
Well, we have about 13 paid staff, but basically the chunk of our staff are people like me who are social workers. And then we have about 400 volunteers that help put services in the home for us, like grocery shopping, friendly visiting, things like that. We have two main programs that we work with. One is care management, which is what I work with. And that's basically a social worker coming out to the home, meeting with the family, or if it's just the senior, meeting with that senior, and doing an in-home assessment. And that basically is looking at every different aspect of that person's life, their health, physical health, mental health, the safety of the home, looking at what their needs are, what they want, and developing what we call a care plan. It's basically trying to figure out what resources might be best for that person in order for them to stay at home rather than go into a facility.
And since you mentioned that these people come from many different kinds of economic backgrounds and situations, that may vary a great deal.
Right.
From person to person.
Exactly. And again, if we don't charge anything for our services, but if somebody is of an income that they could afford to make a donation, or even if they're low income, sometimes our seniors, you know, like to make a couple dollar donation, you know, feeling like they're giving something for the services. One of our other main programs that we do is our home share program. And that program focuses on housing. It's a huge issue out here in San Diego. It's just ridiculous. And
Everything is so expensive.
Uh-huh. And there's limited housing available, particularly for seniors. And we do have some seniors who are rich in terms of housing, that they've bought a house when they came out here many years ago for $12,000, and now it's worth much more than that, sometimes $500,000. But they're still on a fixed income, only have $800 coming in a month. Mm. So we do have people who have a home or have an apartment with an extra room where we try to match them up with someone who is looking for housing, and in exchange, instead of paying rent, they can help provide services for that senior in the home, such as cooking, cleaning, transportation to appointments. So that sort of creates a symbiotic relationship with someone who needs services in their home and somebody who is looking for inexpensive housing. So that's one of our other popular programs that we do. And again, that's monitored by a social worker who does an assessment of both the senior and the person looking for housing and tries to make the match and then monitors that match.
And so the person providing that service would mm-hmm. tend to be much younger than the senior who's offering to share their home.
Sometimes, and sometimes it's another senior.
Oh, really?
Sometimes just because someone's a senior doesn't mean that they're not capable and have different abilities. So okay. It just depends on the situation. But sometimes it's two seniors, and sometimes it's a senior and a graduate student. Sometimes it's a senior and a working single mom. It just depends on the situation. And they get to sit down and do an interview with each other and go over, they set up a contract of what is expected and what they're looking for and to make a good match. So we've had great success with it. We actually have a match that's been going on for over 8 years now. So it can be really, really beneficial for both parties involved.
And how do you find these people who are essentially getting a place to stay in exchange for that kind of service? How do you let them know such a thing exists?
We participate in a lot of health fairs. They put an advertisement out in the Reader, which is sort of a local paper out here, and it's sort of advertised as if you would advertise any sort of rental property or something like that. And then as they come in, you know, you explain it more, and they have to go through a background check and reference checks and all of that. We want to make sure that the seniors are going to be safe. But it is essentially a stranger moving into their home, so
sure.
That's why we want them to be monitored and make sure it's a safe situation for both parties.
Now, how many of your clients, the mm-hmm. seniors, are female, and how many are male?
The vast majority are female. I would say of my client base, I'd say about 85% are female.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say of the female, of all the clients, I'd say also about 80% are low income. So meaning that they're making anywhere from $800 to $1,000 a month, typically, I'd say on average.
Okay. And for those senior women, do you try to look for, are they only comfortable with a helper who's female, or can you sometimes match a male with them after going
not
through all the background checks?
Not necessarily. We've done both. And it really is just it's more a matter of finding the right match in terms of what they're looking for, you know, in terms of what area of town they live in, how many hours a week they want someone to work in exchange for the rent, that sort of thing. Those are the things we have more trouble, you know, that takes more fine-tuning versus male versus female. That a lot of times the females feel more comfortable having a male because they really are looking for safety issues in terms of having somebody there in case something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd prefer to have a male who they see is a little stronger and could help protect them if they fall. You know, there's a fear of falling for a lot of seniors, and they
sure.
feel like a man would be able to lift them easier,
uh-huh.
that sort of thing. And also, part of our care management program, again, I mentioned the 400 volunteers that we have, and those volunteers do a whole array of different things like grocery shopping and friendly visiting. And again, it's my job to sort of match up people, particularly for friendly visiting, who have similar personalities and time schedules and that sort of thing. And again, you would think that females would feel more comfortable with females, but a lot of times they prefer males.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had great success with it.
On Keeping the Faith this afternoon, we're talking about services for the elderly, provided by an organization called Elder Help of San Diego. We're talking with Marla Shoemaker by phone. If you have comments or questions you'd like to ask, please call. Anywhere the program is heard, including on the Internet, you may call by punching in 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL, the call letters of the station, of course. In Champaign-Urbana, there are several local lines you may reach by punching in 333-9455. So in Champaign-Urbana, 333-WILL. Well, getting back to our conversation about services and needs of the elderly, let's talk a little bit about how you came to be where you are. How did you decide to be a social worker?
Well, it was an interesting path, Dad, as you recall, I'm sure. I did my undergraduate work in psychology, and after that started working with teenagers at a crisis shelter in North Carolina, which I loved, and I loved that population. Unfortunately, I was only making about $6 an hour and was having trouble making ends meet, and so sort of got out of the social services field for a couple of years and did some corporate work a little bit. And really found that I missed having a job that I really felt was making the world a better place, I guess. And I wanted to have a little bit more meaning, and I decided to go back to school. And kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do, I applied for and got into a child law, a law school program. But again, kind of felt like it was the atmosphere was very dog-eat-dog, be number one, wasn't quite the right fit. And actually, my sister-in-law, Rachel, is in social work. I talked to her about it, and I talked to you about some different ideas that I was thinking about, and you had mentioned social work. And so I decided to go to graduate school in social work.
No, I think you misremember. I mentioned ministry.
Did you? That's right. You did mention seminary, I believe. But you also mentioned social work. We talked about that. And I went to graduate school there, loved it, and actually, again, had gone into it thinking I was going to go back into work with teenagers and ended up doing an internship for a group called Neighborhood Partners out in Arizona. That was a community-based community organization that allowed me to work with the senior population. And I loved it. And in my graduate program at the time, I think out of 200 people in my class, maybe 5 people were planning to work with seniors.
Mm.
And I started taking all of my electives as classes that focused on working with seniors, and I loved it. And when I came out to San Diego, I applied for jobs working with seniors, and I lucked out getting to work with Elder Help because they have a great reputation, they have a great mission. Everyone, all the way up to our executive director, is completely devoted to our mission. And I don't know, it's just one of those organizations where you go to a staff meeting and you walk out of it just more inspired than you were before, and we're always trying to expand with new programs and new ideas, so I really lucked out.
Sounds like a good fit. We have a caller waiting on line one. You're on Keeping the Faith with our guest, Marla Shoemaker. Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. I wanted to know two things. How is this different from hospice? And also, I'm very, very glad you have found a niche. Can you talk about that, please?
Absolutely. Hospice is actually a separate concept that's basically a sort of a team approach to working with people who have often terminal illness and have to be at home. And the idea is to have doctors, nurses, volunteers, all sort of a team coming into the home to help the person be comfortable. It's less focus on trying to cure the person or cure the disease because it's at a point where that's not going to be happening. So it's really focusing on making the person as comfortable as possible at home. And what we do is we work with people who are dealing with issues such as transportation or if they're having trouble working through their bills, if they need home help in terms of cleaning or bathing, that sort of thing. We help set that up for them if they need home repair. So we kind of deal with a whole gamut of issues outside of hospice. Is very dealing with a very specific population and very specific parts of that of issues dealing with that population. So we're a much bigger umbrella organization.
Could you give us an example of what, I know it's hard to say what a typical client is because they vary so much, but could you give us an example of the types of need, someone who had a certain need that you were able to meet?
Absolutely. Well, we get calls on all sorts of things, but a lot of times somebody will call up asking about transportation services. They no longer drive, and they're having trouble getting to doctor's appointments or hair appointments, whatever. So what I'll do on the phone is I'll help them, talk to them about some different resources that are available. There are several volunteer organizations out here, including us, who will actually drive that person to an appointment, stay with them, bring them home. But then beyond that, I'll start talking to them, and a lot of times I'll find out, you know what, they're living at home. A lot of times it's a senior woman who is widowed or never married, has a very limited support system in town. If they do have kids, often the kids live far away or they're estranged. So I'll go out, I'll offer to come out and visit with them and sit down and really take a look at their whole situation. And a lot of times, you know, everyone has their own different challenges, but typically we're looking at they've got some physical limitations, it's getting difficult for them to get around and carry groceries, for instance. So we'll have a volunteer come in to help them grocery shop. Or, again, the transportation, or having somebody come in to clean because it's getting more difficult to do that deep cleaning. Or a lot of people are looking for also, let's see, home help is a big one. Transportation is a big one. A lot of times they'll call up and they're looking for connections, resources in the community that for housing. If they're looking at maybe moving into an assisted living facility, and we'll help link them up with the right one for them. So we're not, even though we, our mission is to help them stay at home, if they're looking, if they're at a point where they've decided, you know what, I need a little more help than what I can do at home, we'll help connect them up with the right resources for that as well. So it's really, it just depends on the people. I've had people call up because they're having trouble getting in touch with someone long distance. Their long distance isn't working, and I'll help them navigate the system. It can be overwhelming, you know, press one for this, press two for that, figuring out the system. So a lot of times I'll help set that up as well. Home-delivered meals, if they're having trouble cooking for themselves. I get calls on just about everything. And if I can't help them specifically with one of our volunteers or one of our programs, then I'll help connect them with the right resource for them.
We have another caller with a question or comment, again on line one. You're on Keeping the Faith. Go ahead, please.
Yes, so many of the people I know who work in social work, tell me that their work is extremely demanding and that they work very long hours. And I'm curious about what you find most challenging about your particular position.
That's a good question. I think it is a long hour sometimes because people need things at different times and you have to sort of meet the need whenever that may be. But my biggest challenge is probably, that's a tough question. It's probably when you see someone and you see that there's something you can do, the resources are available and there's something you can do for that person, but they have made the choice for whatever reason that they don't want that help. And I think that that's probably the most frustrating because you really spend a lot of your time planting seeds with somebody where you'll meet with them several times and their children are very concerned about their safety and well-being, but they're just not at a point where they want to accept help or they're a little nervous. So a lot of times you're just planting seeds. You're talking to them and pointing out the available resources and what some good options might be for them, but they're saying, no, I'm fine. And you have to respect that. It's their right to self-determination, but that is one of my biggest challenges is really with people who are reluctant to accept help, even though you see so many great options for them.
So it sounds like you're still using some of your training in psychology from your Davidson College days.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The caller asked about what's most challenging. What tends to be most satisfying?
Oh.
What makes up for the low pay that social workers tend to get?
You know what is? It's actually great about this organization is because it is a voluntary organization, that means people who call us are typically do want our help. You know, the challenges arise when it's usually a child, an adult child who's calling in and they want something, they want you to just step in and take over for the parent. But when they call in themselves and you can actually set them up with, you know, home-delivered meals, whatever they want, and they can live independently and they're at home and they don't have to go to a facility and they thought they didn't have any choice and that they were going to have to go to this facility, that's an amazing feeling. You know, and my clients, they are so excited to see you. They think you're amazing because you're able to put these things in place, but it's really just a matter of having the right information and knowing what the resources are and kind of knowing how to maneuver in the system. I think a lot of times seniors just kind of get overwhelmed and they're not quite sure where to start. And when you're able to help them maneuver through the system and get it in place and they're ecstatic, that's when you're happiest. It makes it worthwhile.
How frustrating is it having to deal with the bureaucracies and the various systems where you need to go as a social worker to try to find help for people?
Well, because luckily being a private nonprofit, basically our funding is not determined by the government, so we do fundraising and all that. So financially we're in a good place, and we can use the money how we want to. So oftentimes when I hit a roadblock, if there's a particular issue that keeps coming up and we're getting frustrated because other agencies aren't stepping in, government's not giving funding for those agencies to really do what they need to do, a lot of times we're able to create a program or start something and do it through us. So that's kind of nice. For instance, our transportation program, we were getting probably 60% of my calls were about not being able to get to appointments and trying to use, out here they have a lot of shuttle programs run through the county and different agencies, and they're just not always reliable, and there are all these problems, and they charge a fee. And so we basically looked to another organization that had started a volunteer program down in South Bay, and they helped us. I mean, we're basically starting up a transportation program with volunteers who will take the clients, escort them to their appointments, bring them back home so they're not waiting for a shuttle to come pick them up, and they don't have to stay there for, you know, one appointment doesn't take all day. They're able to have someone there to listen to the doctor and help take notes and that sort of thing. And all of that was started because we were hitting a roadblock with what was available for our clients. And so we took it upon ourselves and started a program through our organization. So, I mean, you do hit, it does get frustrating trying to deal with, out here, instead of Medicaid, we call it Medi-Cal, but trying to do the paperwork and get things in place for somebody can be frustrating, and I can see why a lot of seniors feel overwhelmed and want to give up, but that's sort of my role and as a social worker, to come in and help you figure your way through the system, get to the right person, get the assessment you need, the right resources that you need. So luckily, I have a great support through my executive director and our staff here, and everybody's determined to get through all of those roadblocks. But
we have another caller waiting, but before we go to that call, let me remind listeners, you too can call in. 1-800-222-9455 is a toll-free number that you can use anywhere the program is heard. In Champaign-Urbana, we encourage local listeners to punch in 333-9455, which will get you to two or three lines here in the studio. Our guest today is Marla Shoemaker, who is a social worker in San Diego working with an organization called Elder Help. She has a master in social work degree, and she's our guest today. Let's go to line one. You're on Keeping the Faith. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Thank you. Is this program local in Champaign-Urbana?
Actually, Elder Help, we're only in San Diego,
uh-huh.
But there are the Area Agency on Aging, if you're looking for an organization kind of like ours out there in the Champaign area, I would recommend calling your Area Agency on Aging, and I do actually have their phone number here with
All right.
me, which is 1-800-888-4456. Or you can get to them online. It's called East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging.
And what's the title of their program name?
Well, it's the Area Agency on Aging, and they're actually nationwide, but there's the one for East Central Illinois. That's the phone number I gave you.
Let me repeat that number. That was 1-800-888-4456. So that would put you in touch with the East Central Illinois Office on Aging.
Right.
And there's also another local agency called Family Service that helps provide these kind of services for the elderly. So that's a couple things here locally in Champaign-Urbana.
And one of the reasons I wanted to do this show too, Dad, is because one of the great parts about being part of a social service agency and being part of a nonprofit is that, you know, it's not dog eat dog. It's not competing against one another. I'm hoping that people will get ideas of different programs that they can start. Elder Help was started by volunteers. You know, we didn't actually have paid staff for another, I think, 10 years after they started it. So it really is, there's so much people can do if they they look around and get an idea of what seniors need and what the needs are in their particular community. There are definitely different organizations all over the United States that can step in and have great resources.
We have a couple other callers waiting. Let's go to another local line. Line 2, you're on Keeping the Faith.
Hi, this is Nancy Olson. I'm a caseworker at Family Service.
Oh, great.
And I work in the Senior Resource Center and would like the local listeners to know that we do have transportation. We have counseling and advocacy. We have Meals on Wheels. We have caregiver support. We have lots and lots of programs to help people. Kind of doing exactly the same thing you're talking about.
And Nancy, could you give the local number for people to reach you in Champaign-Urbana?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm calling. The Senior Resource Center is 352-5100.
And that's in Champaign-Urbana. And how wide of an area do you serve?
Family Service serves Champaign County.
For this county?
For the entire county, mm-hmm.
And you'd agree with our guest that people outside the county who are hearing this program looking for services should call the East Central Illinois Office on Aging?
Yes, that would be an excellent resource for them. They could put them in touch with whoever is providing service for them in their county. So, that's an excellent resource.
And
but we'd be happy to talk to anybody in Champaign County. We have one caseworker who does all rural. Some of us do just in town, and then we have people who do the rural thing.
And how big is the staff at Family Service that's working with the elderly?
Oh, gosh. Well, four counseling and advocacy, two outreach, one caregiver support, one transportation, one lady does Meals on Wheels. We must have maybe 15 or 20 people all together. And we're also we have the two local people who will take elder abuse reports also are in our office.
And let me repeat the phone number for Family Service of Champaign County. That's area code 217-352-5100. And thank you so much for calling.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
You're welcome. And we have another caller on line 1. You're on Keeping the Faith with our guest, Marla Shoemaker.
Hi. I have two questions. One, I have MS, and there is a church that does Share the Care, and I think maybe they do it independently. Do you need to be in a church, or what do you do? I know that you're an independent nation or independent agency, so you help anybody. But Share the Care helps selective people. And I personally and professionally have found much comfort in persons from Share the Care. Do you understand what I'm talking about, and do you have that in your church, in your vicinity? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
That's a great comment, actually. Faith-based communities are a great resource for a lot of seniors. A lot of seniors, that's their only social contact, really, is the one, you know, that church or synagogue, temple, their faith-based community. We actually out here recognized that and started a separate program that we call Faith in Action. And what it is it's a coalition of different faith-based communities, and they have representatives come and meet, I think, once a month to go over what's going on in their congregations and what they're doing to address certain needs. But basically, we've decided to offer our services and help train different volunteers within their faith-based communities who wanted more information on what to look for with for seniors in their communities, what some of the issues are, how they can help, how they can kind of do a mini assessment. So we do training on that, and then help basically as a social worker, we're linked up to certain faith-based communities to help provide support if they have questions, if they have certain seniors in their community they think would benefit from our care management program or who needs specific resources. And then they actually recruit volunteers within their community to help with a lot of the things that our volunteers do. So it sort of overlaps: grocery shopping, friendly visiting, helping sort the mail and bill minding, transportation. So I think faith-based communities are a great place to look for seniors who may be more isolated outside of that, and also for volunteers, and that's a great resource.
We're talking on Keeping the Faith today about the elderly, and we're about halfway through our program. We'll be getting back to our guest, Marla Shoemaker, in just a few minutes, hearing more about Elder Help of San Diego and some of its programs for seniors. Often at the halfway point in this Keeping the Faith program, I take a moment and share a poem. The current poet laureate for the United States, Ted Kooser, was a guest on this program in the fall, and there's a poem in his most recent book, Delights and Shadows, that seems appropriate for our topic today. We have permission from the poet and the publisher, Copper Canyon Press, to read these poems on the air. And here's one called Home Medical Dictionary. It's only one sentence long, and I'll tell listeners, since you can't see the text, that the last word is damned, but it's spelled D-A-M-M-E-D. Here's the poem by Poet Laureate for the United States, Ted Kooser, Home Medical Dictionary. This is not so much a dictionary as it is an atlas for the old, in which they pore over the pink and gray maps of the body, hoping to find that wayside junction where a pain-rutted road intersects with the highway of answers, and where the slow river of fear that achingly meanders from organ to organ is finally channeled and dammed. A one-sentence poem by Ted Kooser, Home Medical Dictionary, from his 2004 book, Delights and Shadows, published by Copper Canyon Press and available in your bookstores. Seemed an appropriate poem, speaking about seniors. I know I have my aches and pains, and I'm relatively young. Let me tell listeners who's coming up on as a guest on this program in the weeks ahead. Next week, Barbara Rossings, who is a professor at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, a professor of New Testament, will be talking about the images of the apocalypse as found in the history of Christian art. And this will be, she'll be a guest on this program. She's also giving a public lecture that's open and free at Krannert Art Museum in Champaign at the University of Illinois at 2 p.m. That's Sunday, February 27th. And there's currently an exhibit at the Art Museum on images of the apocalypse. So please feel free to stop by Krannert Art Museum. They are closed Mondays but are open Tuesday through Sunday. And stop in and either hear her lecture live at the museum at 2 p.m. or listen here on Keeping the Faith at 5 o'clock. That's Barbara Rossing, next Sunday, February 27th. Then March 6th, our guests will be Jenny DeWer and Laura Swinford talking about the programs of the Crisis Nursery in Champaign County. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for this program, and I'm the executive director of the University YMCA here at the U of I. The Y is the oldest student program at the university, started by students back in 1873. Since that time, the Y has been providing opportunities for social service, for social action, community service for students, as well as providing programs that deal with important issues for the entire university and local community. One of those programs is called Know Your University, where we have people from one part of the university share what they're doing with others. And coming up this Tuesday, February 22nd, Dorothy Espelage, who's a professor in the Department of Educational Policy Studies, will be talking about bullying among American school children, and what lessons she's learned from that research. This is a free lecture at Tuesday at the University YMCA. That's on the corner of Wright Street and Chalmers. It's easiest to get there by bus, since traffic is a little difficult, but you can occasionally find parking spaces if you come a little bit early. Free lecture, Tuesday, lunch is available if you'd like to buy that, but it's not necessary. That's Tuesday. Coming up Friday at the Y, We're having a series that's looking at the development goals for this new millennium for the United Nations. And one of the goals, UN goals, is improving maternal health. And on February 25th, this next Friday, Suzanne Troopen, Dr. Troopen, a medical doctor, will be talking about women's health care practice. That's another free lecture at the Y, University Y, 1001 South Wright Street in Champaign. If you have questions about these lectures, do give us a call, 217-337-1500. Also coming up soon at the Y on March 6th, that's a Sunday evening, will be the International Dinner, which has been a long-term project of the Y in conjunction with the Office of International Student Affairs at the university and the Cosmopolitan Club. There'll be an international dinner March 6th at 6 p.m. This is earlier than we've had it in sometimes in past years. Often it was in April, but now we've moved it up to March. Tickets are $8, and there'll be 30 or 40 folks from different countries around the world represented at the university who will bring some wonderfully tasty dishes for you to have as part of your meal that night, as well as there'll be some excellent music and dance programs to entertain you during the during dinner. All for $8, March 6th. Tickets are available at the University Y, Cosmopolitan Club, and Office of International Student Affairs. The Whirlwind Project is a Champaign-Urbana interfaith project trying to find ways using the arts, music, to bring people together from different religious traditions. And on March 5th, there'll be an opportunity at Wesley Foundation to hear stories on the topic of creation, chaos, creativity from the Native American tradition, Jewish tradition, Muslim tradition, Christian tradition. That's March 5th, Wesley Foundation, 5 p.m., followed by a potluck dinner. Last year, the potluck dinner was amazing, with people from many Middle Eastern countries bringing examples of their cuisine, as well as European and South American and North American. So that's free, a potluck dinner, Wesley Foundation, Green Street and Goodwin, March 5th. Stories start at 5 o'clock, the dinner at 6. The keynote address for the Whirlwind Project is by Professor Wayne Pittard of the University of Illinois. That will be in the Champaign Public Library, March 7th at 7 p.m., again on the topic of creations. Coming up on WILL this week, some programs that would be of interest to people who appreciate the topics we deal with here on Keeping the Faith. First of all, if you missed the interview with the brand new president of the University of Illinois on some of his hopes for the future, we're replaying that Monday at 1 p.m. as part of the afternoon magazine here on AM 580. An interview with John Paul, with the new U of I president, Joseph White. Coming up Tuesday on Afternoon Magazine, behind the scenes of the election of a new pope. There'll be a taped interview with Celeste Quinn and John Peter Pham, former Vatican diplomat. And he's now at James Madison University. How the new pope for the Catholic Church is selected. That's this Tuesday at 1:06 about. And on Focus 580 in the mornings here on WILL, on Thursday of this week, the 24th, progress toward global food security, dealing with the UN development goal for the millennium that has to do with feeding the hungry. And that'll be at 10 o'clock with David Inge. Catherine Bertini is the Millercom speaker, and she'll be interviewed by David at 10 o'clock on this Thursday. And then this Friday, another topic that many people listening to this program find interesting, why animals matter, the importance of humane education. And we'll be talking, David will be talking with the director of the ASPCA, William Samuels. That's this Friday, the 25th, at 10 o'clock on Focus 580. Well, let's get back to our very patient guest, Marla Shoemaker, who's talking to us by phone today from her office in San Diego at Elder Help of San Diego, which provides services for to allow seniors to stay independent as long as possible in their own homes. And we're talking about volunteers when we got to the halfway part of the program. You said you have about 400 volunteers. Some of them come from Faith in Action groups representing different religious groups. Where do the others come from?
Well, you know what? Actually, a great majority of our volunteers are actually seniors themselves. We have a lot of seniors who are very active in the community and want to, after they retire, keep giving to the community and stay active, and they do volunteer with us. We get a lot of our volunteers by word of mouth. A friend of theirs is volunteering, or a neighbor is volunteering. Or sometimes we get a lot of volunteers through, they've called in for one of their, maybe one of their parents or for a friend or someone in their community, and they end up seeing what we do and realizing that it's dependent so much on our volunteers, and they end up volunteering themselves. So we get all walks of life, all ages, all different kinds of expertise. I have a woman who is a hairdresser by day and volunteers and goes to the homes of different people that need a haircut in their home. So we've got people who do all sorts of different things and are very, we would be nothing without our volunteers, obviously.
And you say the organization was actually begun by volunteers and run only by volunteers for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So people in
it was just a matter of looking at a need in the community, and actually some graduate students, I believe, had done a survey of San Diego County focusing on senior issues, and the results showed that there was a huge senior population that had needs that were not being met, and that was sort of the birth of Elder Help. And they ended up, a group of volunteers and neighbors and people in different churches got together and said, hey, let's do something about that. So it started off as just volunteers. It's a real grassroots organization, and we're staying true to that even today.
Let me repeat the phone numbers for listeners who may have a question or comment. Anywhere the program is heard, 1-800-222-9455. We'll get you on the air here at WILL. In Champaign-Urbana, there are several local lines you may access by punching in 333-9455. Tell us about money. Now that you are an established agency with offices, with staff, a budget, where does the money come from?
Well, because we're a private nonprofit, so we get a large percentage of our money from grants and bequests, probably about 30%, I'd say. We get another third from individual contributions. We do a lot of fundraisers throughout the year. We have one staff member she's just focused on fundraising and getting money for our services. We get money from the United Way. We get money, a little bit of money from some investments and interest. I think that's about 2 or 3%. Some in-kind donations. So people will donate, office supplies, a copier. We basically have a little newsletter, and we'll put in there our wish list, and people will donate. Different corporations will donate. But we're really just sort of out there trying to raise money, and it all goes to direct services, so that's nice. I think we have about 13 paid staff, so a lot of our money does go to salaries, and then the rest goes to direct services.
We have another caller waiting on one of our local lines. Line one, go ahead, please.
Hi, Steve, I want to say how much I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
And then in reference to a previous caller about faith-based programs, Champaign County, Vermilion County, a large area has parish nurses here that are sponsored and trained by Carl, and they're available at a lot of the churches. There's over 200. So elderly or anyone that has some kind of problems, we parish nurses have resources and abilities to help connect you with the right thing, or provide some services ourselves. So you just need to check with your church, or maybe see if your church would be interested in having a parish nurse.
And do those parish nurses just see people at the church, or do they do house calls?
No, we'll do house calls also. She was talking about going out to someone's home and kind of evaluating their whole situation. We do that. There are a lot of things that we'll do. We'll go to the doctor with someone that maybe is not quite sure what to ask or sort of intimidated by the medical bureaucracy.
Or has difficulty remembering what exactly was said.
Yes, yes, we'll gladly do those kinds of things.
Well, thank you for calling and mentioning that. And do you have those kind of services in San Diego, too, that are available for social workers to plug people into?
Absolutely.
What about in terms of you as a social worker, do you have to help find money for specific cases, write grants yourself?
We don't have to. We do have a partnership with a group out here called the Change a Life Foundation, which is actually an anonymous donor donated this huge amount of money, and they allow for private grants, individual grants, to be written from $1,000 up to $10,000. And we've created a partnership with them, and actually, if I have a client on a regular basis, actually, probably every couple of months is a grant cycle. And if I have a client, for instance, this past cycle, I had a client who needed a lift chair. It wasn't going to be covered by Medicare. They didn't have the finances to pay for it themselves, but it was a much-needed item. And I was able to write the grant for her and get her that lift chair, and they paid for it. So medical equipment, sometimes I've done things like closed-circuit televisions, which are basically huge. It looks like a huge TV monitor that you can slide things underneath this magnifier, and it magnifies it up onto the screen, and the person can adjust it to make it whatever size they want. And for people with macular degeneration or diabetes causes some sight problems for a person, they can use this device, and that way they can look at their mail and sort it themselves. They can write their own checks, read letters, look at recipes. So I've written a lot of grants for those as well.
How much does something like that cost?
You can get one for a little over $2,000. I have sort of created a little relationship with a certain vendor so I can get them a little cheaper. But yeah, I think most of the grants I write are probably in the $2,000 to $4,000 range for dental work sometimes. We had, for our fire victims out here, I don't know how much you guys got to hear about that, but we still got people who don't have homes or are just starting to rebuild, and we've been dealing with mudslides lately with the rain, and we've been able to write grants for people to I had a woman who's wheelchair-bound who needed her trailer that was provided by FEMA to be wheelchair-accessible, and FEMA doesn't just have wheelchair-accessible trailers, so we had to hire a contractor to come in and do that for her, and it cost about $10,000, so we were able to pay for that for her. So you have to be creative. But
now, one of our callers earlier talked about the kind of long hours that social workers have to put in, how demanding it is. And what about the emotional demands? Here's someone who's counting on you to be their life preserver. They're tied to so many different places. How do you deal with the emotional pressure?
Well, I think you have to have a good grounding you have to have stress release. I write in a journal. Some people exercise. Some people, you have to have something outside of work that grounds you and keeps you stable. But in terms of working with the clients, most of the clients I work with are not typically in an immediate crisis situation. They're not typically, you know, just evicted and don't have any food, that sort of thing. So it's less of, when I worked at the crisis shelter for teenagers, it was much more go, 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 find something immediately. Whereas most of the clients I work with, it's more, there's more time to put things in place. They're looking for home-delivered meals, fine, that can be set up in one day. If they're looking for transportation, usually their next appointment isn't for a week or two, so we've got some time to set that up. That makes it a little easier, not having that crisis crunch. But dealing on an emotional level with someone who is dealing with maybe depression, is feeling very lonely, That's a huge issue, and that can be very taxing on you because you want so desperately to put the right things in place and for them to find, you know, a situation where they feel stable and secure and they're feeling happier and more comfortable in their situation. And sometimes you can't always solve every problem, so that can be hard. And you are dealing with a lot of health issues sometimes, and sometimes your clients pass away, and that can be hard, but that's part of the process. And I think when you see how much you are able to do and how much people are able to benefit from what you do, it makes it worth it.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the health issues, particularly Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. This has been such almost an epidemic, I guess, in around the world in recent years. There's still many questions about what might be causing the increase in the number of people who suffer from Alzheimer's disease. How do you, as a social worker, help an individual, help a family who you begin to see suffer from this?
Right. Well, first of all, you need to be careful because I think a lot of people see some signs of dementia. Dementia is the term that's sort of the umbrella term that Alzheimer's ends up falling under. And you can't actually diagnose Alzheimer's until someone passes away. So it's a difficult diagnosis sometimes. And it's very important that the person see a doctor, a physician who can really sit down and do a full assessment and decide whether it really is Alzheimer's, they think it's Alzheimer's, or whether it's another form of dementia. Sometimes dementia can be caused by things like high blood pressure, things that can be treated. Sometimes depression is confused with Alzheimer's. You know, they'll think it's Alzheimer's because it has similar symptoms to depression. And again, depression can be treated with different medications depending. So you want to be very careful before you just quickly say, okay, this person is forgetting things and therefore they have Alzheimer's. I mean, that's not how it works. So I think sometimes I'll get calls from an adult child who says, you know, I've been noticing some changes. They're being more disoriented. They're forgetting things. They're this, that. My first thing is always, you know, make sure that they get a full assessment by a doctor before you do anything else. And it's also, you want to be approach the person. A lot of times the person realizes that they're starting to forget things, or if they're having signs of dementia and they're getting frustrated. And you want to acknowledge that. Talk to them, you know, and just be honest and upfront with them and say, you know, I've noticed that you're having trouble forgetting things, or this is happening, I've noticed these things. And start a dialogue. Because, you know, often it's scary for them. They're starting to notice changes too, and so it's really important to just be upfront and acknowledge it. And if I'm there, if somebody comes to me and says, these are concerns I'm having about my parent, or if it's someone that I've been seeing for a while and I'm starting to notice changes, the first thing I do is sit down with them and talk to them about it, and see, try to get a better idea of what stage of dementia they might be in, or if it's even dementia. So that would be a starting point. But I would always start with the doctor.
Now, my tendency at this point in the conversation would be to say something like, well, you know, I'll never forget you, Susie.
Dad.
But how do you feel about people who joke about Alzheimer's?
Well, I think humor is a natural way to try to cope with things that are difficult. And I think it can be helpful. And it totally depends on the person that you're dealing with. A lot of times, personality-wise, this person that you're dealing with, a senior, it wants to deal with things with humor because that's been their personality the whole time. So I think you need to respect that. I think that's natural. You know, as long as you're not doing something that's going to make that person uncomfortable or disrespect them in any way, I don't see a problem with that, having some humor.
We've been talking on Keeping the Faith this afternoon with my daughter, Marla Shoemaker, who's in San Diego working for an agency called Elder Help of San Diego. And we're toward the end of our time and can't take any more calls now. I apologize to those who may have been wanting to get in a last-minute call. But let me repeat a few numbers that might be helpful to local listeners. In East Central Illinois, the Office on Aging can be reached at 1-800-888-4456. That's the East Central Illinois Office on Aging. So if you're hearing this program somewhere in East Central Illinois and would like to be connected to some services here in this region, they can help you do that. Again, 1-800-888-4456. And in Champaign County, in Champaign-Urbana, is an agency called Family Service that has a special portion of that agency that deals with services for the elderly. Nancy Olson, one of the social workers from Family Service, called earlier. And the number of that agency is 352-5100. So Family Service in Champaign County, 352-5100. And Family Service is also a private nonprofit in Champaign County. Yes, Marla?
I also wanted to just mention that if anybody's listening and they have further questions about specific programs or if they're interested in trying to start something up where they are or just want more information in general, to feel free to give us a call, because I get calls from people all over the country who are looking for general information or I'd hate for them to reinvent the wheel when it comes to starting a program. We have all the forms and information they might need. So
why don't you give information how people can contact you at Elder Help?
Absolutely. Our number is 619-284-9281. And again, my name is Marla. If you wanted to talk to me directly, you can just ask for me or any one of the social workers who answers would be able to help you.
And Elder Help of San Diego also has a website, which is just what I said, www.elderhelpofsandiego.org, and people can get information that way as well.
And we're sort of in the process of revamping our online website, so I don't know if it's up and running at the moment or not, but if not, feel free to give us a call.
And I'll repeat that number one last time, 619-284-9281, and you can ask for Marla Shoemaker. Well, let me thank my daughter for spending an hour talking about her work on a Sunday afternoon to share information with listeners here in Central Illinois. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for this program. I do want to thank our many callers today who shared information and asked questions and made comments as well. Coming up on Keeping the Faith next week, Barbara Rossings, professor from the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, will be talking about the art exhibit at Cranard Art Museum here at the University of Illinois called Apocalypse Then. She'll be giving a public lecture that's free at 2 p.m. and will be on Keeping the Faith at 5. Then on March 6, our guests will be talking about the Crisis Nursery here in Champaign-Urbana that provides help for children in this area who might need particular services, particularly whose parents may be homeless. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
His critics call him a war criminal. Robert McNamara himself has said the Vietnam War was a colossal mistake. Should he take the blame for leading America's war in Vietnam? I'm Jim Fleming. Next time, under the best of our knowledge, filmmaker Errol Morris talks about war and morality and his remarkable documentary about McNamara. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Tonight at 7 Central Time here on WILL Urbana.
Programming on WILL is funded in part by a grant from TK Service Center, 806 Perkins Road in Urbana, offering automotive repair on cars and trucks by ASE-certified technicians. In business since 1984, they perform computerized engine diagnostics, alignments, brake and suspension work, and other repairs. A shuttle service for customers is also available. The phone number for TK Service is 344-0800 or on the web at tkservicecenter.com.
Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, cloudy with a chance of showers this evening, then a slight chance of rain after midnight. The low in the mid-30s with southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour this evening, shifting to the northwest around 10 miles per hour after midnight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with the high in the lower 40s and northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with the low in the upper 20s and northeast winds around 10 miles per hour. It's 6 p.m. Central Time. This American Life is next.